Yeah, I got a chance to watch the basketball game on Friday. It was a lot better than I thought it would be. I thought Texas basketball did a really fine job, BK. I thought they hung in there. I thought they fought hard. They're just not as talented, obviously, as UConn. That's a team that's been around together. And as I said, that one dude, it looks like he's been there 7 or 8 years, is a fabulous basketball player. They got some bigs that are really, really good, but it's such a coordinated offense that they have. I mean, their big guys can pass the ball, but Texas didn't take a back seat. They like I said, I thought they really fought hard. They did some really nice things that I think are going to be good as the season goes along in the SEC.
Yeah, it was a pretty competitive game throughout, and the Longhorns had some chances to make things interesting down the stretch. It was a 5-point game with just over 4 minutes to play. It's like, oh my God, we're in a good shot here. We're in a good spot here. We've got a
Yeah.
good shot here. Whenever
Dude
you
had two
use
free
that.
throws and bricked both of them. I was
Yeah.
like, that was the one when they had the chance to bring it to three. He's at the free throw line and he's had a good game. He was smooth as silk. And dude, those free throws were clanging. They clanged off the back. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, Dalen Swain, like you said, he got to the free throw line with a chance to cut it to one possession, and instead he goes 0 for 2 at the charity stripe. UConn's next offensive possession ends with that half-court heave.
Oh
Remember
my
that one?
yes.
Texas had played great defense. The shot clock's running down.
Dude hadn't hit a three-pointer all night.
The Longhorns get a deflection. The ball ends up right around half court. Solo Ball realizes, oh my God, I got to get up a shot because the shot clock's about to expire. He heaves a prayer from like 35 feet and he buries it.
Yeah,
So
that hurt.
you go from what could have been a 3-point game if Dalen Swain just makes those free throws to all of a sudden it's 8. And then the next possession, Caravan, the guy that you were referencing earlier, who it feels like it's been there for 15 years, he hits a three. And it goes to 11, and that was pretty much game
Yes.
blouses right there. So, yeah, look, Texas was a 15-point underdog. They end up losing by 8. And again, they were in the game until the last 3 to 4 minutes or so. But that sequence right there with the two missed free throws and then that crazy half-court heave followed by the Caravan three, that killed
Yeah,
any chance.
that team fouls too early in the game. They give up too many easy fouls early. You know, in that first 5 or 6 minutes, guys get two fouls or they get a foul for not having their feet in front of guys. They like reach out and get those silly fouls. You're like, come on, man. Game just started. Don't, if you have to give up 2 points, make it so the guy may not even make the, you don't know, how do you know he's going to make the shot? You know, the first 3 minutes, why get a foul so soon in the game? You're not sending a message by hacking the guy on the arm.
Right. Well,
Get in foul trouble quickly.
Texas.
Yes.
Well, this was like that was a big point of emphasis for Texas is
Or
that
maybe
they.
this was a game that they had done better at.
It was much better. Well, that was a huge point of emphasis for Sean Miller, and there's an encouraging sign right there because Texas has been fouling way too much
Too soon,
recently,
right?
and they only had 14 fouls in the game. UConn attempted just 13 free throws in the game. Meanwhile, Texas attempted 28. So the Longhorns were physical. They didn't get completely pummeled on the glass, and UConn
No.
prides itself at dominating the glass. Texas actually out-rebounded UConn in the game by 2. So, yeah, no, they did a much better job defending without fouling. In the first half, UConn didn't miss. Like, Texas's defense wasn't great in the first half. UConn shot like 70-something percent as a team, and then Texas bowed up in the second half. So that was pretty encouraging, I thought, as I was worried UConn was going to put 100 up on this defense the way that they've been playing. And Texas showed up, at least that part of the game showed up.
You're thinking they were going to get 30 at the line alone.
Yeah, and yeah, of course, with the way Texas has been fouling, I was very worried about that. So
It's
that
just
was,
maybe to me they just fouled too quick in the beginning of the game. Those
yeah.
guys get ticky-tack fouls instead of moving their feet.
Yeah, early on, I suppose. But again, I mean, it's been worse for Texas than it was on
Wow.
Friday night. So I thought that was a positive sign from the game. But yeah, I mean, the Longhorns also missed 9 free throws. They got to the line 28 times, which is great, but they missed 9 of them. So they left some points up on the board. They lost the game by 8. You can do the math and decide what would have happened there if maybe they were a little better at the
Gotta
charity
make those
stripe.
free throws. They're for free.
But I don't know. Some positives to take. But ultimately, another loss for the Longhorns. And they've got two more slappies in non-con play before SEC play starts on January 3rd. The Longhorns had some opportunities to win some games against good competition in the early going, and they got that win over NC State in Maui. But I think Texas right now is 1-4 against major conference teams.
Sure.
They lost to Duke to open up the year, lost to Arizona State, the embarrassing defeat at the hands of Virginia, and then to UConn on Friday. So that's
number 12. I don't know if he's just going to be a streaky guy. Is he going to be consistent? What is he going to be like for the season? That's a big deal. Do you have something planned for him? Because he can get to the rim. He can do a lot of things, you know, sneaky lefty, herky jerky lefty can do a lot of things. Yeah. But he's a streaky kind of dude, you know?
Yeah.
If he's off, he can be way off.
Some games. I mean, he had 15 points, which was tied with Jordan Pope as Texas's leading scorer. But he's had some games where he's no-showed. And I mean, if you're playing college basketball at the age of 24, then it means you're not the most consistent player in the world. If you were, you'd be playing somewhere else right now.
Yes.
And he's got some talent. But at times, he's very frustrating because he just doesn't always look engaged. And I mean, the Duke game, I think he had two shot attempts against Duke. I don't think he did much against NC State. There's a couple of games where you're just wondering where Tremont Mark is and why he's not engaged. And that's frustrating. So he played pretty well on Friday, but not enough. And Texas only 7 assists as a team too. Credit UConn. That's a great team. There's a reason they've won 2 of the last 3 national championships.
I bet you they had a lot of assists. Their big men got some drop offs that looked pretty simple.
Yeah.
They guys cutting to the basket. The Horns couldn't stop the guys cutting to the basket, cutting to the behind them, to the rim.
Right. Especially early on. Yeah, UConn 23 assists, Texas just 7. So big difference there. You know, the Longhorns need to do a better job of spreading the ball around on offense. And again, two slappies coming up. SEC play starts the turn of the year. The good news for Texas is the SEC is not nearly as good this year as it was last year.
For sure.
Right. So the Longhorns, I mean, if this Texas team was going into last year's SEC, I would not be confident at all. But I think Texas, again, this SEC is a little bit down to start the year. And there's some more winnable games this time around.
I saw Arkansas play. They're not bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some good teams. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean.
No, it's not as good. It's not good all around as they were last year, for sure.
Last year, you had 14 SEC teams sneak it to the dance. You had 2 teams in the Final Four. Obviously, you had the national championship winner with Florida as well. Florida doesn't look as good. Kentucky's unranked right now. Auburn without Bruce Pearl, they don't look as good as they were. A&M's got a new coach. They don't look as good as they did a season ago. You can kind of go around the conference. Some teams look just as good or even better, but for the most part, it's everyone feels a little bit down right now. So
Alabama will be good enough.
Alabama will be good enough, but they've already lost 3 games. They got boat raced by Arizona, who's the number one team in the country. But like, I thought Alabama had a very good chance to win that game, and they weren't even close. Bama's still very good. They're going to be a problem. But again, just overall, top to bottom, it feels more attainable for Texas to make some noise in this league. I don't expect them to win. I don't even expect them to be close to winning the conference. I'm not saying that. But I don't think they're going to be at the very bottom.
I agree with you.
Even though they've struggled against some of these power teams in the early going. What do you make of Dan Hurley and his antics?
Oh, he's just like he always is. He's out of control. Always on the officials. You know, I think it's overkill with his players. Coach, they know you. They know what you're looking for. But he doesn't cut him a break, man. He's on them constantly. He's engaged. I'll say this. That dude is engaged in every offense or defensive play that's out there. And that's fine. That's good to see from coach. He's not just sitting there having a Gatorade. That guy's coaching.
He is a lunatic.
Yeah, he's nuts he's nuts on the officials now.
It was so funny. At the end of the game, very end of the game, right? Final possession. UConn's up 8. They're dribbling out the clock. Game's over. Texas is like, Sean Miller's telling them to not foul, but a couple of Texas guys are still defending kind of hard for some reason, and they're like getting close to the guy on the ball. And like the refs maybe could have called a foul on Kendall Weaver or somebody there.
Yeah, we're trying to end the game. It's not
exactly totally meaningless. Like Kendall Weaver really wasn't like trying to foul. The game was already decided in hand. And Dan Hurley, as like the buzzer sounds, he's yelling at the official. He's like, call and foul before he gets into the handshake line to go shake Sean Miller's hand. It's like, dude, you already won. The game is over. Give it a rest. And it's not like I'm thinking, oh, is Dan Hurley betting on the game? It's, no, the line was like 15, so it's not like two free throws are going to help your team cover, even if you are gambling on it.
You're right. Like,
dude is a freaking psycho. He is a lunatic.
And like I said, he's engaged to the very end. He just – oh, my God. He doesn't stop.
Like, give it a rest. I was, like, cracking up.
He goes back and looks at the game, and he looks at himself and says, you know what? I got to be in this at all times. And he's to the very end. I mean, I remember that as they were trying to dribble out the ball.
Yeah.
They were aggressive. And by the way, you're supposed to play to the end.
Right. Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I don't, to me, it's like, what are you doing, Texas? You already lost. Like, I think you're making yourself look dumb when you're doing that. When the game, it's an 8-point game with 5 seconds left. Like, why are you fouling?
By the way, there's a lot of kids that play the game, CYO from CYO. That's just the way they've played the game. You see the ones that do that in high school, the game's over. And they're still trying to take the ball from you. They're up by 15, and you're dug in defensively. There's always that player.
Right. Oh, I know. And I never get it. And it's not like UConn was running up the score on offense. It's not like they were trying to score and Texas was just –
they were trying to get to the locker room.
Yeah. I'm always like – and I'm not taking a shot at Texas in this case because Texas did play really hard on Friday. But play harder earlier in the game so you win.
Yes.
Don't do it when you're down by 15 in the final seconds and you're like – playing really hard defense right there when the other team is not trying. Like, you look like an idiot if you do that.
So you say there's a chance.
No, there's no chance. There's no chance. You're down by 8 with 3 seconds left. There's no chance for you to win. But yeah, I mean, what's more ridiculous is Dan Hurley getting on the officials for that there. It's like, my God, dude, you already won. The game is over. Give it a rest.
Go home.
Go enjoy yourself for once. Try. Yeah. Try to have some fun.
He looks like he's wired up at all times.
So funny. Yeah, he is. He definitely is. A good showing for Texas, but it's a loss, and Texas just not on the level of UConn.
Well, I said on Friday, I said, this is one of those games that you can get a moral victory, and I thought they did.
Yeah,
I thought they learned a lot.
Excuse me, Buck. Yeah, I think most Longhorn fans, myself included, thought it was going to be ugly on Friday night. And, yeah, they fought hard. Again, they were right there, and at times they were their own worst enemy. Too, with some bad turnovers, with the missed free throws. And obviously, UConn got a little luck on their side with that half-court heave as well.
Oh, my goodness. But the difference between winning and losing is you're down 5 and you got 2 free throws and you're supposed to be one of the stars. You can't go up there and just brick 2 of them. I mean, that hurt so bad.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing a UConn team that I think has lost 4 home games in the last 5 years.
Yes.
So you need to do pretty much everything right, especially this Texas team isn't that good. You need to do everything right to have a shot to win that game, and missing 9 free throws as a team. Dalen Swain himself missing 5. Buck, it wasn't like that was his only bad trip to the line.
Oh, no. You're right.
3 of 8 at the foul line for the game. That just can't happen in that building. So there you go. Texas basketball. Back at it tomorrow night at the Mood, taking on Lemoyne.
Lemoyne, nice.
You familiar with their work?
No.
Okay. The Lemoyne Dolphins.
Great. The
NEC.
No, I'm not familiar. Not familiar with that game.
You can.
And how do we do in volleyball? I was watching some of that. I saw it. Was it Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Wisconsin was drilling them and taking the first set. Did it?
No,
and then they took the second set. Was that it?
Yeah, Texas did win the third set, but they dropped in the fourth. That was it. Yeah, the Longhorns volleyball season came to an end last night. 4-set loss to Wisconsin in the Elite 8.
Yeah, the Badgers seemed to get on them early.
Yeah, and Texas, it's funny. Those two teams played early in the regular season, and Texas swept Wisconsin. And yeah, Wisconsin just had it. They were playing really well last night, and Texas not at its best. And The Longhorns, hell of a run, hell of a ride, but they come up short of a Final Four. And you know who did win? A&M upset Nebraska yesterday. Nebraska was the number one seed. They were 33-0. They were number one preseason. They were number one throughout the entire season. They hadn't lost. They only lost a couple of sets this year. And A&M beat them in Lincoln in five. Huge upset. And I'm like, all right, if Texas can get in, like the best team is out. Now the Longhorns have a legit shot to win a national championship here. And unfortunately, yeah, Texas couldn't take care of their business. So
we can't we have to root for the Aggies now?
No, I'm not rooting for the Aggies. You kidding me? You've got the Final Four set in women's college volleyball. It's two number one seeds. It's Pitt and Kentucky. I think Kentucky's going to win it all. Kentucky beat Texas twice this year, once in the regular season and once in the SEC tournament championship.
Panthers?
Yeah, Pitt's a number one seed there in. Kentucky's in. And then you've got two number three seeds with A&M, obviously Wisconsin, who knocked off the Longhorns last night here in town. So, yeah, both number one seeds who played yesterday lost. And, again, another great year, another great run for Jared Elliott, but falls a little bit short of another Final Four appearance. That was tough. And shout out to Texas women's basketball, though. Talking about a couple of losses for the men's basketball team and for volleyball. But number two, Texas women's hoops beat 13th ranked Baylor 89-54 yesterday.
Oh, yeah, they beat them in submission yesterday.
That was like a neutral site game in Fort Worth. It was ugly. Texas was up 16 after the first quarter. They were kind of on cruise control after that. Madison Booker led the way with 27. I saw the Texas women's team stopped at Buc-ee's and took a nice team photo with the Beaver on the way back.
As a matter of fact, on the way back from Houston, I stopped at the Buc-ee's.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dude, that your namesake.
Yeah, that is absolutely. There's some distractions. You know, people are doing their Christmas shopping in there. Buc-ee's has everything Christmassy. I was in there just to grab something to eat on the way back from the high school game. And it was 10 o'clock, maybe 9:30, 10. That place was a mob scene. That Buc-ee's just outside of Houston coming back this way just before Sealy, I believe. My goodness.
Okay, a few questions here.
Sealy, home of who?
Sealy, home of who?
Who is from Sealy, Texas?
The Mattresses.
No, the great running back. One of the great running backs of all time.
Tony Dorsett.
No, went to SMU.
Eric Dickerson.
Yes.
Nice. Did not know that.
Yeah.
All right. And he invented the mattress as well?
I don't know. Maybe. But I was told the story. Of course, I'm with Mark Honig, who knows all the high school stuff. And they were telling me, that dude was from a 2A school. I'm like, what the hell did he do to those poor kids?
God, can you imagine?
No, I can't even. I know. I can't imagine at his size what that was like.
Somebody has to have his high school numbers.
I mean, just turn around and give it to him. Whether it's blocked or it wasn't blocked, he didn't need a running back coach.
Dude, you don't need a quarterback. Just direct snap it to that guy every play and let him run.
Class 2A? Oh, my God.
God. Yeah, that's insane right there. Poor kids.
No kid. I bet you some of them are still feeling the pains of hitting that dude.
It's like 5'7", 160-pound white guys.
Oh, my God.
Trying to tackle Eric Dickerson in high school. No thanks.
Sticking your arm out there as he goes by, hitting his thighs with that high leg kick.
That's awesome. Okay, a few questions. So you went Saturday night around 10 o'clock to Buc-ee's?
Yes. Oh, my God, BK.
Place is always packed. It's always packed, but especially on weekends. A little less hectic at night, but everyone's traveling this time of the year, so it ramps it up.
Packed in there. They were Christmas shopping. They had shopping carts of Buc-ee's this, Buc-ee's that, you know, red and
white. Was that your first time there?
No, I hadn't been to a Buc-ee's before Saturday. I hadn't been in a Buc-ee's in about 5 years.
Wow. Okay. So what did you?
I don't like the, I'm not, you know, I ate food there. I did. I got a brisket sandwich, but it was like extra large. I took like three bites of it. It was a barbecue sandwich. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I took like two bites and I was done.
It wasn't good?
Nah, it didn't taste good. I mean, that it just, I saw some other sandwiches that I probably should have got, something like chicken or turkey or something, but I got the barbecue, you know, in the aluminum foil deal. I mean, that thing was this large, BK. It was a monster size.
Did you get they got an XXL one. Did you get like the giant one or just the regular?
I didn't get the regular sandwich. I got, you know me, when I go to places, I always order some big thing knowing that I don't know. It's just like I want to leave food back there for the people that work there just in case they're hungry. Oh my God. They can then cut a piece off and have it. I took two bites. I took one bite. I walked out of the place before I got in the car because I was a little worried about bringing that in the truck, that barbecue, because it was going to be all over the place. I took like two bites and I'm like,
How am I gonna throw it away? You took two bites and you tossed it?
I said, there's just no way that I can finish this thing.
You know, no barbecue sauce? You didn't put anything on it?
It had enough of that fake McRib barbecue sauce already in. It was one of those that had it inside of it, you know?
You're comparing Buc-ee's to the McRib?
Yes.
That is sacrilegious in this state, sir.
Seriously, people actually go there for the meal?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've downed a number of barbecue sandwiches at Buc-ee's over the years.
They have everything in there. Anything that you're looking for, anything you want.
I'm a big Buc-ee's guy. Now, I don't do the shopping. Like, I just go there to take a leak and get a food and some coffee. But I do like the selection of food that they have. But I will say this. I do not go during prime hours. So if it's like Friday afternoon and I'm driving to Dallas or driving to Houston, I'm not going to go. If it's a Tuesday, I'll go. If it's like midnight, I will go. If it's 6 a.m, I'll go. But if it's like Friday from like 3 to 8 p.m. or Sunday afternoon.
It's like a mall. It's like the mall.
Dude, you got to wait so long to find a gas tank. And I'm not going just for, like, I'm only going if I need gas. I'm not going to stop just for S's and G's. But, like, it takes forever to find a pump that's open. And then when you finally do, you got to walk like 10 minutes to get inside.
Dude, that place was, I was parked in like three parking lots over to get inside. I was like, damn, this is a hall. This is like going a whole football field to get to this place.
It's massive, that place.
Nice people behind the counters. Yeah. Very courteous, happy, you know, Merry Christmas to you, the whole works, happy holidays. I think they call you, they don't call you shoppers, but they call you like Buc-ee's partners or something. I'm like, yeah, okay. Just cash me out here.
They're always very nice, and they are very strict on their employees in regards to cell phones. It's like if you get caught on your phone one time while you're working,
gone.
That beaver takes you out back. And yeah, it's not just you're fired. It's you're not heard from again.
Yeah, there's plenty of beaver in there. That's for sure.
Plenty of beaver in there. Did you see the little beaver mascot walking around?
What do you mean? They don't actually pay somebody to do that.
Well, it's a real beaver walking around.
Oh, really? No. And most of them, they've got a mascot hanging out?
No, it's not alive. It's not a live beaver. That would be hilarious.
Do they have somebody in uniform? Do they come out to the pumps at all?
I would say, no, I think he just stays around inside.
This one had like cotton candy in there. I did buy some fudge, though.
There you go.
In a fudge table. It was delicious.
Did you get like a six pack, one of those variety packs, or did you just get like
I got two individual slices for $3.78 a piece or something.
There you go. So here's what the Buc-ee's beaver looks like. It's a little mascot. I've taken a picture with this guy before.
Wow.
Big deal, man. And that's so let me see if I can pull up the picture here. As I realized I forgot to send out a tweet at the start of our show. My bad on that, everyone. But I guess you found us, so you didn't need the tweet. But yeah, this is who the Texas women's basketball team took a picture with on their way back from their stomping of Baylor yesterday in Fort Worth. Here it is. There you go. You see Coach Schaefer on the right with the burnt orange jumpsuit. You see all the ladies celebrating their win with all their snacks. You got some coffees. You got some ices.
You know I'm taller than that dude. I'm taller than Schaefer. You know that, right?
I don't know that, and I don't believe that.
I'm taller than that, dude.
Have you stood side by side?
No, but I'm going to now. I'm going to have a picture with me being beside that dude.
Oh, you're just assuming that you're... You know, he's standing next to a bunch of basketball players who are pretty tall, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. I said some of those young ladies are tall.
Yeah, some of them are taller than me. A lot of them are taller than me. I just Googled Vic Schaefer's height, and it's not listed. They don't list the coaches' heights on the roster. Oh, apparently.
They're afraid to list it, huh?
Yeah. So Vic Schaefer, that Beaver's got his size.
Yeah, that Beaver's got some size to it.
Beaver's got a little. Oh, yeah. You do like a sizable Beaver, I've been told.
Been like a big Beaver.
Yeah, you are a big fan of that. So there you go. Yeah, next time you're there.
That place is just, there's too much going on for me in there. I go in there. First, like I said, it takes me 15 minutes to walk three parking lots over to get into the place.
Yeah.
When I get in there, it's like overwhelming. Everything just like hits you. And now that it's Christmas time, they got the Christmas music blaring. By the way, I was not happy with my travel group that wouldn't play any Christmas music.
Oh, in your car?
Yeah, no. And I was just a passenger in somebody else's car, but I never asked to change the music on somebody else's ride.
Christmas music before a ginormous playoff high school football game?
Absolutely. It should be going and coming back. It should be nothing but Christmas tunes now.
Oh, going back after a loss? How can you possibly have that? You're like depressed. The team lost, and now you're listening to Jolly St. Nick?
Well, I heard enough of it. When I went into there, that thing was blaring with Christmas sounds.
Oh, at the stadium?
No, in Bucky's.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah,
oh, my God. You can buy Christmas matches. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Just turn on Magic 95 and you'll get your Christmas fix here in town. Sure, sounds like you already do that. Sounds like your car's locked into the Christmas tunes.
You get overwhelmed in Bucky's. I don't know how you... Dude, I can't imagine going in there with a group because you can't find. You go in there with somebody, it takes you 15 minutes. You better tell them, I'll meet you at the car in 10 minutes.
That's it.
But you can't do 10. You can't do 10 minutes in Buc-ee's.
No, you're right. You're right. It gets too crowded, especially in those peak hours. I mean, it's brutal. But the bathrooms are clean. Did you use a bathroom?
Yes, I did. The bathrooms are unbelievably clean.
Do appreciate that.
I mean, if I'm going to have my next fall face first, it'll be in one of those bathrooms.
So, like, you're going to go out of your way to fall into a toilet at a Buc-ee's bathroom?
I prefer to be at the urinals at a Buc-ee's than in a movie theater.
Okay, so you're going to intentionally fall in a urinal at Buc-ee's.
That's the place to do it, not at the Chevron gas station.
Yeah, you probably won't slip, though. They got all the floors clean, you know?
There's somebody in there, they man the bathrooms all the time, huh?
Yeah, it feels that way. It feels like there's always someone in there cleaning up. It's nice. It's a good bit.
Now, what's the deal? What's the bit with them? They don't do trucks. They don't do 18-wheelers.
No, they do trucks.
They do?
Yeah. It's like a separate entrance. They've got their own separate set of gas pumps.
Really?
They do just trucks need
a diesel spot. 18-wheelers only, Buc-ee's.
There we go.
When's Buc-ee's going to go curbside pickup?
I'm a little surprised they haven't, considering how many people just ordered food and gifts from there.
Yeah, that surprises me now that they don't have curbside. Buc-ee's. Where you come and pick up your Buc-ee's stuff. Because it looks like people do their local shopping in that place.
Buc-ee's delivery, Buc-ee's curbside pickup.
Dude, they had carts. I saw a lady had her cart filled with Santa stuff from Buc-ee's. I'm like, this isn't like Walmart. It's better than Walmart's. You feel better about yourself in a Buc-ee's than you do Walmart, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Not much better, I guarantee you that.
Clientele's a little better in a Buc-ee's. we're still talking about a truck stop gas station here, though. So I had to think about that for a minute. But no, I feel like people are more clothed in Buc-ee's than they are in Walmart, you know?
Yeah, see, I've never been. It's like I said, 5 years. I'm wondering what it's like in the summertime. I bet you there's some half-naked people coming into Buc-ee's.
Yeah. Then let me know if you ever see that. I'll be there. In a jiffy. All right, we'll get back to the sports. So we got to recap the NFL Sunday. It was plus some honors for Michael Taft. We'll talk about the Heisman celebration as well. And this church video that has me thinking conversion. We'll get to that, all of that in a moment. But first, Buck, how about a few more sponsor shout outs?
Hey, say hello to our friends over at, of course, who did I forget? I'm trying to think of somebody that I just forgot. Oh, my Hat Creek Burger, folks. It's Hat Creek Burger Day. This is a burger day.
Come on.
I'm talking about Buc-ee's, I had that Buc-ee's sandwich. I need to go to Hat Creek and get a double. Hey, with some milkshakes today. This is going to go milk. This is a milkshake day. Going to have myself a nice banana pudding milkshake from our good friends at Hat Creek Burger. Double with cheese, fries. Forget the sweet potato fries, just regular fries there. And folks, Hat Creek Burger is open for breakfast in some of your locations starting at 7 a.m. So head on over there if you want to get a taco, get yourself some pancakes or waffles. Some of the locations do have breakfast just for you. And, of course, in the evenings, now, mom and dad, you need to have a margarita. They have that there while the kids are on those wonderful playscapes. Love the folks at Hat Creek Burger Company.
Yes, indeed. One of the best burgers in town. Mm-hmm. Love Hat Creek. Also love the Altstadt beer.
Yes, you do.
The best beer in town. You've got holiday parties coming up. You've got football watching coming up. Heck, you got a Monday night game tonight. Of course, the college football playoff will get going later this week. You might have to drink the pain away watching some of those other college football games, but you get my point. There's never a bad time to have a great beer, and Altstadt beer is the only beer that I drink. It should be the only beer you drink as well. They've got a bunch of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. They've got 6-packs. They also have those 15-packs. So if you want to be the life of the holiday party from the moment you show up, you walk in there with a 15-pack of Altstadt beer. Boom, everyone's going to love you, and you're also going to have a really good time as well. Checks every box, man. It's brewed locally here in Fredericksburg, brewed without any additives or preservatives. I mentioned they've got a bunch of different brews, so something for every beer drinker out there. And it's like you're getting a luxury car at a family sedan price. I mean, seriously, Altstadt is fantastic. One sip, and you won't go back to the other beers that you have been drinking in the past. Pick it up. Anywhere you buy your beer or any bar around town, it's the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Folks, if you're thinking of having that quick vacation, maybe right after Christmas, Horseshoe Bay Resorts is the place that you want to hang out at. It's absolutely, weather's going to be nice this week, BK. As we go along during the course of the week, it's going to get back into the 70s. I don't know if you're going to take a vacation before Christmas, but right after Christmas, folks in between, we'll be taking those quick stays, whether it's a 2-day stay, a weekend stay, or one night stay, just to have some golf. Horseshoe Bay is the best. The villas, the hotel, all the amenities that you get out there. Floating bar still going on out there at Lake LBJ, where you'll get your Altstadt beer. But go check it out, horseshoebayresorts.com.
God, that could be a great place to spend a Christmas.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Maybe this year, maybe next year.
Get the family there for Christmas.
Just a quick drive. You don't have to get on a plane.
You're right.
Tired of all the craziness that comes along with Christmas. You just want to enjoy yourself at a resort for a couple of days. Could do a lot worse than Horseshoe Bay. I could tell you that. Shout out to them. Hey, you can take a covert Bee Cave car out to Horseshoe Bay.
Yes, you can.
Kind of on the way, too. Just keep going down 71. You'll get you to Horseshoe Bay, right?
Well, it's right on the way. Covert,
get you a car. First place you go, Horseshoe Bay Resort. Love the Covert family. Of course, Covert Bee Cave, their newest dealership, part of the Covert Auto Group that's been around the Austin area for more than 100 years. They've got the best selection. How about 42 acres of cars, trucks, and SUVs? They've got new. They've got certified pre-owned. They've got used. They've got everything that you are looking for. So if it's an upgrade, if you've got a kid who's about to turn 16, you want to get a used car for them, or anything in between, Covert Bee Cave has your back. Fantastic people, unmatched service. What do they say about those Covert prices, Buck?
Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever.
CovertBeeCave.com for more info, or again, go see them off of Highway 71.
And once I hit this Powerball tonight, it's on.
It's up to a bill, isn't it?
It's over, Bill, now.
Oh, they're doing another drawing tonight.
Yeah, I think it is the drawing tonight. Yes, this is. Yeah, I need to go ahead and do that. I'm going to make a lot of people happy, including me.
Yeah, of course, that's got to be priority number one if you win that.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
So, have you already bought tickets, or you're going today?
I bought some yesterday, but I'm going today.
Buy some more.
Yeah, I mean, and as I made those guys stop during in the Houston area, you know, you had to, because that's where people win, like Houston, the outskirts of Houston. Yeah, you got to stop at those little convenience stores and get yourself one. Get yourself a quick pick.
Okay, I like that.
But I'm past the quick pick. I've got the numbers on the card, because there's the certain numbers that I play that are on the card. I can't tell you people what they are, but they're my special numbers. I played those yesterday, so I have one of those tickets with five sets of numbers there.
Okay.
It belongs to me.
So you pick the numbers. You don't randomize it.
Most of the times I randomize it, but when you get to have it, you know, you get over, you know, $200 million, that's when I start picking my numbers, because my numbers are the numbers.
Yeah, because you'd be mad if you didn't pick those numbers and they won.
Oh, I would absolutely Oh, man.
What's the first thing you're buying if you win the Powerball tonight? I do expect a call or text from you saying you'll be off tomorrow morning, which...
Oh, no, I wouldn't take off. I wouldn't take off right away.
Okay.
Because I'd still be thinking about what I'm going to do with the money. It would take me a full 2 days to think about it.
Tomorrow's show would be 2 hours of me kissing your ass to try to get some money.
I would be in the mood for just at this time of the year, for sure, of just helping out a town itself, not just an area, but everybody in a town. I'd be doing stuff that I could never do for my back home or my high school. I take care of my family and friends. And then I would do something that, you know, people have shit named after them. And you're wondering, how does that person have that named after them? You know,
that's you.
That would be me. I'd have to do that in Bethlehem, Mount Bucky or something, you know.
Ooh, change the name. You're going against the Bible there?
No. I would do something at my high school. I'd make sure that I could get into use the bathroom.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be going to a porta potty and the janitor wouldn't say to me, I'm sorry, you can't get in there. I'm like, you got the keys.
Good use of your money to pay off the janitor to let you into the bathroom at your old high school.
If need be, here's $20,000. Let me in. You think he'd let me in for that?
Yeah. Well, I think if you paid for your name to be on the school and you just say, that's me, I'm Godbolt, then he'd probably let you in.
Nice name for a Catholic school.
Actually, he'd probably be like, nah, you got to pay me $20,000 on top of that.
Now
that I know you have money because your name's on the school, I'm going to need a little bit of that.
I'm going to need a little bit of that cash. Yeah.
If you win, I would like for you to get the name of Dripping Springs changed back to Pound Town.
Oh, I would try that. They'd do that for a little bit of that coin, wouldn't they?
I would think so, right? I don't know what it costs to change a city name, but that would be, if you're not going to change it to
a walking park, a dog park where you didn't have to pick up the poop. Just go ahead and let your dog shit and then you walk, move right along.
That's what you want to build?
I may do that. Maybe build a dog park where you can just shit and you don't have to worry about scooping it.
How long is that going to be working before people stop going because they're stepping in shit all the time?
Hey, that's how life is. Every once in a while you step in shit, you know?
Yeah, I feel like you usually try to avoid it though. Like,
I can have somebody come clean it up.
Oh, okay. You don't have to do it, but at the end of the day, someone's going to come by and
hey, the Pound Town pooper scoopers.
That's it. There you go. I like it. I was going to say like Bucky's bathroom employees are just going out there after their shift and picking up dog crap now, cleaning up after the animals, after the people.
Yeah, I do a lot of good things. I wouldn't waste that money. I wouldn't waste a cent. I do everything would be to the good. I wouldn't be wasteful. I only have one ass. I don't need six cars. I don't need all that stuff.
Okay.
But I need some golf courses all over the world.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds pretty wasteful right there.
Does it? I need some jet planes, not to be in the line at the airport here.
All right. Yeah.
Your own private rides.
Yeah. You got to go PJ if you're getting that kind of money, right? You don't need to buy one, but you just have to like have one on speed dial
at all times.
Yeah. Your own personal. You like driving too much, though, to get your own chauffeur.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd be going out to Big Bend and I'd drive out there. I got to have my own special minivan or whatever it is. Maybe go back to the old Volkswagen van with a little mini kitchen in it. I may do that.
You're going to go minivan? You're going to win the Powerball and you're going to buy a freaking Honda Odyssey?
Oh, a little Volkswagen. That'd be awesome.
I don't even know what the what is the Volkswagen minivan? They still make minivans?
Yeah, they're still making those deals. They're trying to make them look like the old ones. My old man had one of those. He used to bring my family up to Boston College. I went to college in one of those things, a red and white one.
Went to college in one of those, and that's your proof that they still make them?
They still make them.
Okay. All right.
I'm still making the little minivan. Those are awesome.
You can't buy a minivan unless you want to drive it into the lake. Just buy a car to drive it off the bridge downtown into the lake. Boom.
Yeah, man. Lots of help. Help a lot of people with that.
Lots of help right there. All right.
I'd go back to the homeless girl for sure at McDonald's. There's no doubt in my mind.
Pay her for intercourse or?
No. Just hand her one of those stacks of hundies. I just put it in her hand And she would say to me, she goes, do I look like I need this?
You're giving her like $5,000. And she's like, do I look like I need this? Oh, that'd be great.
And I snatch it back from her and I say, no, you don't. Give it back.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be awesome. Well, good luck to you.
Thank
Maybe
you.
I'll buy a Powerball ticket. But nah, I think I'm too good of a friend. I don't want to hurt your chances of winning.
Good luck to everybody out there who's trying for their dream.
Good luck.
By the way, I'd never play again. How's that?
Yeah. Oh, you're not going to win it twice, right?
No, I wouldn't even attempt. I wouldn't even attempt to do that.
It's just greedy at that point.
Yeah. Plus, my wife would say you'd be, once again, it's be like coaching. She said you'd be dead in a year because you're the guy who would walk around with that big lump in his pocket because you like to do cash deals. You'd be walking around with like $60,000 in cash in your pocket and everybody would know it. You'd be the first one they'd come after.
You'd have to hire security or something.
Yeah, and I'd be the first one to give all that money up and just say, do me a favor. Let me have everything. Let me have my driver's license. You take everything else you want. Anything else on me, you take it. Take the chain. Take the watch. Take my life support thing right here. Take all this stuff. But do me a favor. Don't make me go to the DMV. Just let me have my license. Whatever you do, don't make me have to go through that.
You could take the $50,000 I have in my pocket, but don't.
You can take a cell phone. You could take the cell phone. You can have the $50,000. There's all kinds of money on the credit card. But can I just please have my license? I'm serious. If somebody tried to rob me, I would beg them to let me keep my license. I would my wife said they would shoot you just for being so stupid to ask that question. I said, well, I'm going to take that chance that they would be okay. I'm going to keep the cars. What do I need with your license anyway? I said, just give me the license. Go about your business. I won't even tell the cops. I won't even tell them I got robbed.
Yep, just keep the license.
Yeah.
No, they want your identity now, so they need that license, you know?
Oh, they need that identity?
Get your address on there. Get your driver's license number on there. There's some good information that they could use. So I don't know if they'd give it back.
That sucks.
That is funny.
I would ask.
Take all the money. Take all the credit cards. I don't care. Just give me away from the DMV. Please. Please.
I'd be holding onto the guy's leg. You'd have to shoot me in the back of the head.
Godly. All right. Hey, quick shout out to Michael Taff. Of course, the College Football Awards show went down on Friday. Then we had the Heisman Trophy ceremony on Saturday. But one Longhorn took home a big award on Friday night. That was Michael Taff, who won the Werfel Trophy, which is college football's premier award for community service. Celebrate student athletes who use their platform to serve others and create positive change and who exemplify community service, academic excellence, and athletic achievement. So it's kind of a combination of on-field success and off-field success. They only give out one every year. Michael Taff wins it this year. He's the second Longhorn ever to win that award, joining Sam Acho, who won it back in 2010. But congrats to Michael Taff. Obviously, we've seen how good of a player he's been on the field in recent years, but has also done a ton in the community as well over these last couple of years. So really, really cool honor for him.
That is great. That is great for him. I'll tell you one thing, BK, that I wish I could buy. I wish I could buy peace. I would give up every cent. I would give up all of that money in a lottery if I could buy the world peace.
I mean, go to McBride's Gun. You can get a piece right there. What do you mean?
Not that kind of piece. I don't need
a few pieces right there.
Yeah, I got enough of that. I got enough of that going around.
Oh, you're ready to go.
I'm always ready to go with that. But if I could buy some peace for some people, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Yeah, we could use some of that in this world.
We could use a lot of that in this world.
That's nice of you. I'd probably buy a lifetime of Crunchwrap Supremes.
Crunch wrapped, huh?
From Taco Bell. Yeah. And lifetime supply of Olipop, probably a lifetime supply of Old Stat beer.
Wow.
And a new car from Covert. I'd probably spend some money at our sponsors, like I already do, but I'd probably spend a lot more money on our sponsors.
There you go.
And world peace would be good too.
You'd tear up a Buc-ee's with you with that kind of money.
Yeah, for sure.
Have ownership in one of those things.
You'd be buying a lot of beaver with that kind of money. I could tell you that.
Yes, you would. That's for sure.
Oh, man. Fernando Mendoza wins the Heisman Trophy on Saturday night. Buck, no big surprise. He was a heavy favorite pretty much from the moment the Big Ten championship game went final, where Indiana beat Ohio State.
I never heard his speech, though. How was his speech? He went, was he real emotional? Or was he under control?
No, it's pretty emotional. I'll give him some credit. Like, it feels like most guys who win have notes, right? They'll bring up a note card. They'll have a couple of sheets of paper. They'll just basically be reading a script, which, hey, understandable. No fault if you want to do that. You want to make sure you've got everything figured out. You thank everybody you need to thank. You say what you want to say. But Fernando Mendoza, like, did it off the cuff. He was clearly prepared. Like, he had a plan in place, but he didn't have notes that he was looking down on. Here's the last 30 seconds. I mean, most of it was just thanking people, thanking his teammates, thanking his coaches, thanking his family, parents, siblings, grandparents, et cetera, who are all there in the crowd. And he got real emotional talking about his mom, which was pretty cool to see. But here's the end of the speech, kind of the sort of inspirational message that Fernando Mendoza gave Saturday night.
This is an important one. I want every kid out there who feels overlooked, underestimated to know I was you. I was that kid too. I was in your shoes. The truth is, you don't need the most stars, hype, or rankings. You just need discipline, heart, and people who believe in you. And you need to believe in your own abilities. I hope this moment shows you that chasing your dreams are worth it, no matter how big or impossible they seem. God bless. Go Hoosiers. Thank you guys all.
Pretty good there.
Yeah, really good. Really good speech. Spoke for about 5 minutes. Not too long, not too short. Again, most of it was thanking people. But, you know, it's funny. Like, I get annoyed. I think Bryce Young, when he won the Heisman, talked about, like, nobody giving him a chance and everybody doubting him. It's like, Bryce, you were the number one quarterback recruit in America coming out of high school.
Right.
You were a five-star. Like, everybody thought you were going to be really good. Like, of course, congrats. Big deal. You won the Heisman. That's awesome. But no one's going to buy that story.
Yeah, they were always expecting you to be there.
Yes. Like, you can't play the underdog card when you are the number one recruit in your class. Fernando Mendoza literally was a two-star recruit. But he was the 140th ranked quarterback in the class of 2022. He was the 2,149th ranked player overall coming out of high school. And now he's about to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft here in a few months. And he won the Heisman Trophy for the number one team in America. So that is a true underdog story right there for Fernando Mendoza. Obviously, he had one Division I offer coming out of school, and that was to Cal. He obviously spent a few years at Cal, transferred to Indiana this year, and has just taken off here in 2025. But that's like a true underdog story right there. So easy to root for.
Yeah, I mean, it's a young guy that made some really good decisions in his life. You know, he hung in there. He didn't give up. He didn't give in. You know, he moved on from where he was to get a better shot, what he thought was a better shot. He made some really good decisions so far in his life.
No doubt.
You know? You and he's a guy that's a hard worker. He works at – I mean, he just doesn't take it for granted that – he's going to be good each and every week. He sounds like a guy that all week long is working so that he's ready and prepared on a Saturday when he plays.
No doubt. Yeah, he's grounded and well-rounded for sure.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's impressive what he's done. Dude, he's a doofus. It's so funny. Like, hearing him talk, he is kind of a doofus, but yeah, he sure as hell can play football. And, yeah, obviously, we all know how bad Indiana has been historically. And, you know, Kurt Cignetti, obviously the coach, deserves a ton of credit, but Fernando Mendoza, what he's done to that program in his 1 year in Bloomington has been ridiculously impressive.
How did they come in? Where did Pavia end up?
Pavia finished second. And of course, Diego Pavia embarrassed himself. He had a post on Instagram Saturday night. Took a picture with his offensive lineman and the caption read, "F all the voters." And then he had to apologize for it on Sunday, saying that that was a bad decision and he shouldn't have done that. And it's an honor to be a finalist, and he messed up.
Yeah. People won't forget that. That's dumb. That's one of those.
That guy went from like the most likable story to like the least liked person in the sport pretty much overnight.
Wow.
It's all self-inflicted. He's just a total D-bag, dude. Like, you wanted to root for Vanderbilt because, speaking of doormats, they've also always been a doormat. And it's like, oh my God, what a great story. This underdog kid who started at JUCO is now leading Vanderbilt to wins in the SEC. They're upsetting Alabama. They're winning 10 games this year. And he's just such a total douche.
How about that for your university, that dude?
I know. So it's, yeah, I mean,
they can go back to being Vandy now. So that's okay. Even if they got the number one quarterback, that they can go back. You know, their coach probably should have got the hell out of there while Getton was good.
Right.
But I can't believe he would. I mean, I know he's a little over the top, but I didn't think he'd be there to say something like that. That's kind of dumb. That's kind of dumb. That's just dumb.
He went clubbing Saturday night in New York after the ceremony, which, you know, of course, that's fine. But he was also – he paid for a sign that said F Indiana. I don't know if you know, they got like bar girls now. You can like buy a bottle and they'll come out and bring a sign and they'll have sparklers, like make it a big scene if you're going to spend thousands of dollars on a bottle, which going out in New York is not cheap. Yes. And sometimes they'll bring a sign. You could basically customize it with what you want. You can put your name on it. You could say like happy birthday to somebody, whatever. And the sign read F Indiana. And he's just seen like partying next to that. I mean, he's an idiot, dude. And I mean, he's gotten the Johnny Manziel comparisons. That's who he is. He's just not as good.
Yeah. So I should be seeing him in the USFL or whatever it is, spring league in March.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Pavia. I mean, he's going to try to go pro, I would think.
This is going to be hanging over his head for a bit.
Yeah. I mean, all this stuff is, I guess. So we'll see how he handles the pre-draft stuff. He's a distraction. Like, we saw Shedeur Sanders fall very far in the draft last year because he's a distraction. And that guy, I don't think he's on the level of D-bag as Diego Pavia is, but he's got some ego to him too. People thought he was going to be a first-round pick, which they don't with Pavia, but people thought Shedeur was going to be a first-round pick. He ends up falling all the way to the fifth. Like Pavia, I don't know if anyone wants to take a chance on that guy who doesn't have franchise quarterback skill. Do you want to bring in that dude if he's just going to be a total distraction from the moment you draft him?
Yeah, he sounds like he's turned into quite the me guy.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. The me guy.
That's absolutely too bad.
The me guy. So, yeah, he finished second. I think Jeremiah Love finished third, the running back at Notre Dame. And then it was Julian Sain, the last finalist who was there, who finished fourth.
Yeah, I saw the special on Jeremiah Love before. But what a nice young guy that guy is.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's really good. It's good for how he came up and what is, you know, he was really a special young kid that was a little bit different, wired a little bit different, you know, and his family just let him be who he was. I mean, it worked out pretty well for him. He's got a good, solid family.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to be a hell of a player at the next level too.
Oh yeah.
Really like his game. Yeah, that was a good crop of finalists this year, but Mendoza gets the win. All right, real quick shout out to the Hecht Law Firm, my guy, Ryan Hurricane Hecht, your go-to personal injury attorney here in Central Texas. If you or somebody you know gets hurt in a car wreck, gets injured on the job, a lot of traveling right now. If you get hit by an 18-wheeler over these next couple of weeks, look, I hope you don't. I hope this never happens to you. I hope you never need Hurricane Hecht, but if you do, reach out to him because he is the best personal injury attorney in the city. He's going to be there for you. He's going to be fighting for you every step of the way, compassionate with clients, but a freaking warrior in the courtroom. And the best part, you do not pay unless he wins your case. He's that confident. He should be that confident. He is that good at what he does. His phone number, 512-938-8929. You can find out more information on his website, hechtlawfirm.com. That's HECHT lawfirm.com.
Sweet.
All right, let's get to this video here, Buck, before we bring up chaos theory. So, look, maybe I shouldn't be saying this considering Hanukkah started last night. Happy Hanukkah to all of my fellow tribesmen and women out there.
I'm, of course, celebrating that, which I should, because you don't miss out on any of the celebrations.
No, of course. You're welcome to celebrate Hanukkah. That's a holiday at night, so it doesn't really affect our show. But you're welcome to light the menorah. You're welcome to eat some latkes. You're welcome to spin the dreidel, all of those things.
Am I able to put on the fedora?
Fedora?
What's the helmet? What's the gear? The hat gear?
Fedora and a helmet?
Yeah. What is the headgear?
The teapot? Not the teapot. No. The kippah or the yarmulke?
Oh, the yarmulke, yes.
You know that?
That's a small round one where the bald spot is.
Yeah, yeah. You can. It can be a nice cover for a bald spot if you have one. Yeah, there you go. There's a key bar right there with the Star of David on it. Yeah, that's not a fedora, sir.
It's not. How does that hang on your head? That thing doesn't slip off. Do you have to pin that to your scalp?
Yeah. A lot of people bobby pin it to their hair if they have it.
Would I look funny if I had a rubber band around the top of it and around my neck? I couldn't do that.
And if you're bald, you just have to thumbtack it inside your.
Oh God!
There's different sizes of kippahs, right? So you can get a smaller one that you have to bobby pin, or you can get a bigger one that just kind of stays on your head as long as you're not, you know, moving it around a bunch. But yeah, you can rock that. It's fine. You got my permission.
Sweet.
It's okay. We don't wear fedoras. We have better style than that. We're not wearing helmets either. What is it? Headgear? We have braces?
Some headgear. You got to have gear. You got to have headgear. Well,
Hanukkah's going on, so maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but I saw something over the weekend from a church, Prestonwood Baptist Church up in Dallas. And again, talking about Dallas money earlier with SMU and Rhett Lashley. They got some money up there now. Now, I have not spent much time in church in my life.
Yes, so you gotta
let me know if this is normal for your people or not. It's a minute video. The first one has sound, so we can't talk while it's playing. The second one does not have sound. But here is, I guess, the Sunday sermon at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas yesterday.
Was that ELO?
So here's it without sound, so we can talk while this is playing.
I'm pretty bland, BK, when it comes to religion. If you just give me a definite choir, and I'm good. I mean, I grew up a Catholic, so I go into church scared. I'm frightened. I go to church so I can to pray and be afraid and have stained glass and, you know, crucifix and things like that. So I'm nervous in church. I don't go into church for a concert. And, you know, I've switched over a little bit. I go to where my wife goes, and they have a production. They have drums. Some are okay, guitars. But I don't go for concerts. I'm not one who likes to have four songs before the service starts. I like to go, let's go, so I can get to my NFL on Sunday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they start going four songs before the service even starts, I'm like worn out. And when they got drums and horns and all kinds of shit going on, it's a distraction for what I'm there for. I'm there to hear the service. I want to hear the preacher. I don't want to see the USC band.
I'd be pretty scared with all those strobe lights flying around. I mean, and you've got they're drummers. There's drummers on harnesses like suspended in midair.
Yeah, some churches have wonderful productions, and I think that's fine. I guess maybe young people like that. But I'm old school. I want to go kneel, pray, go have somebody, you know, try to scare me to death that, oh, you're doing this wrong. And then I want to get out and go enjoy my NFL. If I want to go see ELO, I'd go down on the Moody Center. Give me some
Siberian Orchestra here.
Yeah. I don't want to go to a concert. I want to go to church.
Blue Man Group going on here.
Yeah. I mean, tell you, there's a lot of, it's gotten that way, but you know, to each their own. And if the people enjoy it, they show up by the thousands for the production because it's like going to a concert.
So that's not normal church is what you're telling me.
No, that's not normal, but churches have turned to big productions.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the ones you actually see, the big ones that you see, it's not just I like ones with a nice little choir.
Okay. Yeah.
Wags is like me. Wags would love to see a nice choir. I love to hear the singing and how that sounds, but I don't need a big production.
Wags, your thoughts on Prestonwood Baptist?
That's a little excessive, right?
Okay, so that's not the church you go to.
No, I'm Catholic light, diet Catholic, Episcopalian.
Yeah.
I feel like if you are pretty light, this is the type of place you would go, you know? You're just looking to be entertained. You're not really looking to pray. You're just looking for a show. This is a show.
That is one step down from like, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've ever been to a TSO concert, but they got, you know, just people melting acts or melting your face with like a guitar floating over stage or whatever. That's the type of environment that that's supposed to be in. If this is just a regular church and sermon, what the hell is going on? Like Catholics are known to have like the longest sermon, but usually that's because of mass. It's not because of shit like that.
That's
what you got to do is you got to go to the priest and say, hey, listen, the Cowboys are playing at noon, dude. Hey, let's go. You got 45 minutes. Don't take this thing for an hour and 15, an hour and a half like you usually do. It's Sunday. It's the NFL Sunday.
Hey, two things. Number one, the Cowboys played at night last night, so maybe why. And number two, I'd rather watch that than watch the freaking Cowboys. You kidding me? That's way more entertaining than watching those guys play football. Yeah, my God.
You got that right.
This isn't the Catholics, but this is Baptist church, Wags.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's weird. It's a little wild.
Oh, man. You could go to that for free. Can't you go to church for like, obviously, they ask you to put money on the plate.
You can't. That's just it. You just hit it. There's the donation or, I guess, volunteer.
Like, hypothetically, I could have gone to see that for free yesterday.
Yes, you could have.
All right. Well,
you want to go for free? Go see my boy, Joe Osteen.
Yeah.
So you can pay $5 to park.
Will he let you in?
Yeah, exactly.
I just like to go because I grew up a Catholic. I was in Catholic school from first grade through college. So most of my life, I've been afraid when I go into church. So you go in there and the organ is playing and the stained glass and, you know, it's like, and now I've changed.
Right? I don't know if they, do they have incense where you're at, Buck?
Of course. Yeah. I was an altar boy. I was the guy beside the dude in the robe. I was an altar boy. I did benediction services. I was up on that altar. And please, God, I've been very good when I've been in the altar. I've never done
it. Please forgive me for the sins I will be committing here shortly.
Yeah, I mean, I served my time as a Catholic. So, but now the production at some of these places, there's like these bands, BK, that are playing. Yeah. And they're, you know, they're trying to be young. You know, they're trying to play some up-tempo type of music. But like I said, I go to church for the sermon. I don't go for the... I don't want to go to the con. I want to go to a concert.
That's crazy to me. I mean, the light show, all the instruments. You've got, again, high wire acts with people playing drums. You got singers. You got backup dancers. That's a full show. That's a full production right there.
And I can do all the gospel music you want, but give me some old fashioned gospel. I don't need Taylor Swift to be there singing for me. It's church.
Right. We got Al Walsh filling in for Rodney this morning. Al, any thoughts on that video that we've been playing from Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas?
Yeah, I don't mind the little theatrics with my religion, right? So I basically grew up going to a Catholic school from kindergarten to fifth grade.
Yeah.
I moved to Virginia, and then church pretty much was almost out of my life at that point, you know, and I don't know, maybe a production like this would have got me back with the Lord. I don't know. You know, who knows? We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent some time in the temple, I'm at the end of services. I'm like, that sucked. And I'm like, hang on. If I'm just Christian, I could get this instead. Like as a Jew, I'm just bored. I'm miserable. That's the point. You know, you're like supposed to be praying and atoning and this, that, and the other. But I'm like, damn, I could do this and God's still going to love me.
You need to go to Catholic church and get horrified by the tales from the crypt. And you need to, that's what you need. You need to go where you'll be scared when you leave that place. You're just shaking when you leave.
And I love it. I listen to Snoop Dogg. I get enough tales from the crypts.
Good reference. So Catholicism has like the coming of age of being confirmed, right? And
yes.
The Jewish culture and the Jewish religion has bat, you're a boy, so it's bat mitzvah? Right?
Bar for the boys, bat bar for the girls. Yeah.
Bar for, gotcha. What, oh, how long usually does a Christmas or a Hanukkah service last for the Jewish religion? Oh,
for Hanukkah?
Yeah.
Dude, Hanukkah, but, like, very big misconception. Hanukkah is not a very religious holiday at all. Hanukkah is like a very minor holiday. And the gift giving kind of started because I think Jewish kids were like, damn, why are we not getting gifts?
Where's Hanukkah Harry at?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, Hanukkah is like one of our lesser people don't go to temple for Hanukkah. God,
so they go to for like Passover and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's like other Yom Kippur, Passover, Shoshana, like
Mel Kiper.
Yeah, exactly. Those, dude, those are like you're there if you go the whole time, which a lot of people don't. But you're there for like 4 or 5 hours at a time. And then, yeah, it's, and there's no, man, there's no that.
4 or 5 hours?
That's,
dude, and one of them is when you're fasting, you can't eat or drink. So you're in there in a suit and tie, you're starving, you're thirsty, and you're just like standing up and down repeatedly, like praying.
Oh, dude, I need some fishes. I need some fish and loaves and some wine. I mean,
yeah, as a kind of Catholic, let me jump in here. If I'm not mistaken, all of those things are about perseverance and sort of like I'm a very patient person. So I always identified with that. So I could sit there for 4 to 5 hours. And yeah, and I think of it, right? It's a lot about, showing that lasting sense, right? Like, yeah. Again, look at today's society,
you ain't
right?
Been anywhere for we're, 4 hours.
That's Walt, not
unless
true.
You got a beer.
That's not true. But the thing is, it's like, you know, everything is such a give it to me now sort of culture, right? But, you know, having that sort of patience and balance, I do think that
that's
out
great. But I would have body aches after 4 hours. I couldn't sit.
Yeah. Would you rather do that or see ELO perform Evil Woman here at church?
I couldn't do all that either. I did when I was in Brookline, Massachusetts, obviously right beside Boston College, you know, Catholic college. I lived in a beautiful condo spot that had, you know, a lot of Jewish people with the deals in the doorway. What's that, menorah or whatever it is?
On the doorpost?
On the doorpost, yeah.
The mezuzah is the thing that hangs on the doorpost?
Yeah, I mean, I kept thinking that was a doorstop. I'm like, why are these people not having this down there where it belongs? Isn't this the thing to keep the door open?
How dumb are these Jews? Why are they putting a doorstop at the top of the...
Yeah, you know how it sits right there in the corner? I'm like, why is that up there? I was like, shouldn't that be down below where you can just push that there if you had to keep the door open?
That is funny.
It was, but yeah, but I as I said, I was an altar boy. I grew up Catholic, and I have done some changes in my religion because you can be what you need to be at any facility. You don't even have to go to the church, but I pay my respects, but I still don't understand the four songs before the service starts. I guess there's a party going on up in here before you get the hard stuff thrown at you. I need one song and let's get on with it so we can go.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm with it.
The times, they are a-changing.
What a time to be alive, right? We used to say that shit all the time. Well, what a time to be alive.
It is. Always. All right, boys, listen, you guys have a great Monday and be safe out there. Absolutely. This place is crazy out here now.
Yeah. Did you guys see the story about Rob Reiner?
Yeah.
No.
Rob Reiner's been found dead.
No. Really? Hey,
Rob Reiner found him. He and his wife, 10:30 last night, throat slit.
Oh boy!
Main suspect is the son. Multiple reports or multiple outlets are reporting this.
God,
it is the crazy season.
That's awful.
Wow. Yeah. Stay safe. God bless, man.
See y'all tomorrow.